Well, great to see you today. I'm Dan, I lead the team here, and welcome to you if you're brand new to Kings. As Chris mentioned, this is Vision Sunday. We do it once a year. But before we come on to talk about Kings, let me just ask you, how's Vision for your life going? And I don't know, there's a verse in the Bible, in one of the modern translations, it says this. It says, "In Jesus, we find out who we really are and what we're living for." And that's it. If you're looking for identity and purpose today, you can find it in Jesus, and you can only find it in him. And so today, if you're not a Christian, you've just walked into here for the first time, you think, what's this all about? It's all about Jesus. But together in community, we're this thing called the church. Just hold the slide, previous slide, please. Cynthia, thank you. We're the church. And we are called to share this good news together. A young missionary by the name of William Carey once said, "Attempt great things for God and expect great things from God." And here's kind of our mission together, I guess, is that we want to attempt great things for God. And this is the mission of every Christian. If you could put up the next slide up, please, now, Cynthia. Thank you. It's the Great Commission. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and share the good news of Jesus with all of creation and make disciples." And the way they did that in the New Testament was evidently they planted new churches, new communities where people could be formed spiritually and where they could reach new people with the good news of Jesus. So as Kings, when people say, "So what's your vision?" I kind of say, well, we can't really improve on that. That's what we're doing. We're going to all the world and sharing all of the good news with as many people as we can. And we try and teach people about Jesus, help them be disciples, and we plant churches. So that's what we're about. So very specifically, because we want to take responsibility for our bit. And just to say, of course, we're of course not the only church doing this. There's so many brilliant churches in Edinburgh and Scotland who are doing this, because the Great Commission is accompanied by the Great Commandment, which is to love one another. And we literally love every other church. Sorry, just previous slide, please, Cynthia. And we love the church, and we champion everybody who shares the gospel with other people. In fact, there was a group of about 350 pastors gathered this week in Scotland, different denominations, different groups. We don't all know each other, but we were praying in unity, fasting together, praying for our nation, praying for God to move, praying for the gospel to advance. So that's what we're doing together. But our specific part is this, that God is calling us to plant churches. And what we felt him leading us into a year ago was that we should plant new communities of King's Church in different places. So the next slide, please, Cynthia. To start new communities of Kings, firstly in the north of Edinburgh and in Midlothian as the first two places, staying as one church, so we have all the wonderful shared resources and encouragement of being together as one family, but also doing very specific things in our communities where we can reach different people. And it's been going really well so far. In the north, we started meeting monthly a year ago, and now we've been meeting fortnightly more recently. There's been a number of people becoming believers, and we've had a few baptisms, and there's been a culture of prayer and leaders growing and fun and events to invite people to. In Midlothian, we've just had a small number of lunch gatherings on a Sunday afternoon where we've eaten together and we've worshipped and prayed. And it's a wonderful and caring community that God is doing something powerful with in its very early stages. It's very exciting to see what God is doing. So in many ways, our vision hasn't changed hugely from last year. Now, that should be a good thing, because it means we're not just flip-flopping every year, so what's the new thing? What we want to keep doing is what God has already been telling us to do. It says in Galatians 5, verse 25, "If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." So here's our sense as we've been praying and thinking about this year as well. It's like, just God just reinforcing it, saying, keep in step, just keep doing. Keep on doing the thing that you're already doing. to keep in step with his Spirit, to keep in step with one another, and to keep in step with God's mission. See, if God has spoken, if God has moved, if God has opened the door, if God has begun something, our response must be to just keep going in the same direction. Not chasing the newest idea, not reinventing ourselves. It's a long obedience in the same direction. Simply walking in obedience with God with everyday, ordinary steps. Sometimes we get confused because what we're looking for is the massive breakthrough and for God to do it all in a moment. But in actual fact, God usually works through the plodding ordinariness of our day-to-day lives to achieve the remarkable thing of the Great Commission and the nations hearing the gospel. Anybody know what this is? It's Lego. You all knew that, right? Because Lego is like world famous, isn't it? You know, back in 1949, there's a small family business that made toys in Denmark, and they made a brick like this, and they made a few bricks, and they took it to some toy retailers, and they said, "We've got this great new thing, it's plastic bricks." And the retailers turned their noses up. They said, "Well, this will never catch on." And they showed it to some parent groups to consult. They said, "I think your kids will love this." And they said, "No, no, our children prefer wooden toys. I think they must have lived in Brunsfield or something." See, in its infancy, there was a few bricks, and people thought, "Well, what are you doing? This isn't going to change the world." Now, pretty much everybody who's ever lived in a family home somewhere in the world has had that life-changing experience of walking quietly through the house in the dark at night and standing on a Lego brick and trying not to shriek with pain at the top of their voice. It's life-changing. See, the point is this, the small steps we take, they might not feel significant at the time, but in God's kingdom, smallness leads to greatness. Smallness is what brings about his kingdom. Do you remember it all started with a tiny baby lying in a manger that required angels to tell everybody who it was? And yet, that person now has billions of followers around the world. And that's true for your life too. Sometimes your life might feel like a bit of a plod. Sometimes you'll go through seasons that are difficult and hard. Sometimes there's seasons where you're feeling distracted, or seasons where you have many pressures, or seasons of illness. But you know, every day, by plodding, we're getting a step closer to our destination of glory forever with Jesus. Keep in step with the Spirit is immediately preceded by these verses. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control. Here's the point. God is already working in your life if you're a Christian. Just keep cooperating with him in all of your ordinariness. So here's our invitation today for you. Will you keep in step with God? And that might look different for you depending who you are. It could be you're not a Christian and your first step is to actually find out about Jesus and to begin a new life of walking with him. It could be that you're a new Christian and your next steps might look like committing to follow Jesus and being part of a church family and learning what that looks like. It could be that you're in a complex, busy season of life and your step might be to learn what a fruitful walking speed looks like for you in 2026. But it's in the ordinary steps. A guy called D.L. Moody, who was a famous preacher of the 19th century, 20th century, once said this. He saw remarkable progress. He said, "If this world is going to be reached, I am convinced that it must be done by men and women of average talents. After all, there are comparatively few people in the world who have great talents." Isn't that good news? Apologies if you're one of the great people, by the way. We need you as well. Because if God only used the impressive, the extraordinary, or the naturally gifted, the church would have collapsed a long time ago. But instead, God chooses to work through ordinary people, ordinary obedience, ordinary steps, empowered by his extraordinary spirit. Kung Fu Panda. Anybody seen it? It's a great movie, great feel-good family movie. It's about a lovable, overweight panda who loves kung fu, and he's hopeless at it. He's so bad at it. And yet, in some mystery, he gets chosen to be the dragon warrior, the top of the top, who's meant to save the valley from destruction. And he doesn't know what to do. And he's sitting there one day, and he's chatting to his dad about it. He says, I don't know, I'm just no good at kung fu. And then he's eating his dad's secret ingredient, chicken noodle soup. His dad runs a cafe. And he says, Dad, this secret ingredient, chicken noodle soup, is remarkable. He says, Dad, what is the secret ingredient? And his dad says, I'm going to let you in on a secret. There is no secret ingredient. Here's the danger for us as Christians. We can whittle away our lives thinking that somebody else is going to do it better than us, that somebody else somewhere has more gifts, more of the Spirit, more confidence, more natural talents, and somehow God will bring about his purposes through them. Today, King's Church, let's learn the secret ingredient. It's ordinary people filled with God's extraordinary Spirit. So as we step into this year together, let's be a people who keep in step with the Spirit, take small steps that God puts in front of each of us, and believe that ordinary obedience leads to extraordinary fruit. So this applies to our church as well. So here's the simple sense of vision we have for this year. It's to keep in step, as I've said, believing that God will continue to be with us. So in a moment, Chris and Luke are going to share on a couple of other points, but I'm going to just focus in for a moment on what it looks like for us to keep in step with the Spirit this year as far as we can discern it. Keep in step with the Spirit. We're a Word and Spirit people. We love the Word of God and we love the Holy Spirit. We love the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as you've heard this morning. And whilst we're always keen to do our best planning and strategy, and God's gifted us and called us to do that, we always want to be a people who lean into his presence and have that very simple leading of the Spirit in our church community. It's a key value for us. So next week, we're going to start learning more about that. We're going to do a preaching series through the book of Exodus over this next few months. And one of the key points in the book of Exodus is that they learned what it was. This people who got rescued from slavery in Egypt, crossed the Red Sea and crossed the desert and went into the promised land, that they were a people led by God. So it says in Exodus 40, in all the travels of the Israelites, whether the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. To be a people who keep in step with the Spirit, that means sometimes we move, sometimes we move fast, sometimes we move slow, and sometimes we don't move at all. The Israelites did all of those things because they were led by the Spirit. Not running ahead of God, not lagging behind, trusting that God is working in us even when we're stationary, whether we're moving forward or standing still. And sometimes stopping is part of the plan. So just on a brief illustration of that, a couple of years ago, I had a sabbatical. I took 3 months, and I spent some time, and as you can see, Chris is now having a sabbatical. So sabbaticals are really important parts. We're so blessed. We've got a trustee team who say every 7 years we'd like senior leaders in Kings to take time away from their day-to-day responsibilities to spend time with God, to spend time with their families, to spend time with their friends, to recalibrate and find who God's made them to be in this next season of life. And we're really excited to make space for Chris to do that in this next season. He's going to be heading away middle of March to the middle of May, and we're really thrilled about that. So do be praying for Chris. He's still with us for a bit yet, but just wanted to let you know that was happening. Here's the other place we're just stopping in God. Lydia mentioned earlier, we're going to have 3 days of prayer and fasting as a church next week. We'd love you to engage with that in some way. It could be that you miss one meal. It could be that you fast the whole 3 days. It doesn't really matter, but we'd love, in some sense, if you consider King's to be your home, to say, yeah, I'm going to step into this thing, this 3 days of prayer and fasting, and kind of give some priority to that in this next week, using the different ways that Lydia brilliantly mentioned for us earlier. And there's the booklets on your chairs as well, which is a resource that you can use in that time. But as well as stopping under the Holy Spirit's guidance, we want to be people who move on. And just in my last little bit here before I hand on to Chris, this is how we're feeling the Spirit's leading in our three communities, North, Midlothian, and Gilmore Place here in this next season. So in the north of Edinburgh, where we've been meeting every second Sunday, we're planning and moving ahead towards regular Sunday gatherings. Each week we'd like that to be. We feel that the next step is to have a third meeting in the month. So it would be 3 out of 4 Sundays. So the first Sunday of every month would be one church Sunday, where we're all together here. And then North guys would be meeting by themselves on the 3 other Sundays of the month. We want to do it slightly differently in that we're doing 2 public meetings a month in the North, in the heart of New Haven Community Center. We just felt, as a team in the North, we felt, wouldn't it be great to actually really focus on some of those key values of building community? We went straight to public meetings when we started because of numbers, but we thought, why don't we just try and cram into somebody's home? Because we don't have to put on a team, we don't have to have a worship team and a welcome team and a tea and coffee team. It's just called a home. And homes are kind of easier places to do hospitality. Everyone feels at home as soon as they walk in, right? And so we're going to start doing that on the third Sunday of every month. The first one is at Phil and Karen's, and that's going to be on the 15th of February, I think, and doing that as a monthly rhythm where we study the scripture together, we worship together, we pray for one another, and we build community, we eat together. It's going to be a really important next step for the North community. The other thing we want to see happen in the North, again, chatting with the North team, they'd really love to move from an afternoon meeting to a morning meeting. Energy is much higher on a Sunday morning. It's easier to worship, it's easier to focus, and you can do hospitality for lunch. There's a lot of wins with a Sunday morning. And also, based on experience of other people who planted churches, it's actually a lot easier to grow a church on a Sunday morning. That's generally the slot in the week when people want to come to church, and even non-Christians associate with church going. So that's something that we'd like to see happen. Please pray for a venue. We haven't found the venue yet, and we need a venue for that to happen. So in Midlothian, we've just started gathering together at the end of last year, and part of that journey is sort of us as elders learning our own capacity and what we can and can't do and what we are able to do. And so we feel the next step in Midlothian is we need to gather a team of core leaders who are just going to initiate more in that community. We're not ready for regular Sunday gatherings there yet, but we do want to take some next steps in terms of that group really getting some life to it and praying together and beginning to think missionally about their communities across Midlothian. So we're encouraged by that, and that will be the next step. Our next gathering is a Sunday lunch, the 1st of February, which if you need to know about those things, then you can find more information in the weekly email. And then here at Gilmore Place, final thing before I hand over to Chris. So here we're growing. You might be new here today. God keeps bringing new people to us, and we're really excited about that, and we want to help new people connect all the time. We're also, with these 2 other communities happening, we're kind of giving away some brilliant leaders who have served and been a key part of King's for many years. So part of this journey for us is to keep investing in leadership development here, so that, particularly younger leaders, so that we can bring more people through. Luke will say more about that. And part of it is to recognize that we have this amazing gift of this building where people gather. It kind of puts us on the map. Since we bought this building 15 years ago, we've renovated many, many parts of it. The bit we haven't done is the sort of main welcome areas, which is kind of a bit counterintuitive. People walk in and they think, ooh, the Church of Scotland, isn't it? And then they come in and say, oh, this is great. So we would love, nothing wrong with the Church of Scotland. That wasn't a dig, by the way. I'm not going to say any more, sorry. We want this space to feel really welcoming to people walking in for the first time. The number of people who trip up on the step as you come into this auditorium, new people, we thought we need to sort this out. So Peter Johnson and some architects have been working on some plans and with some builders. Hopefully later on in 2026, maybe the September time, we'll be getting some building work done to make that a really nice welcoming space where hot drinks can be served at the back downstairs and also at the back area of the balcony there, a really great space where people can hang out and feel very welcome. So that's the plan for us to keep in step with what God is doing as far as we know. So keep in step with the Spirit. I'm now going to hand over to Chris, who is not yet on sabbatical. Ah, sure.
Great stuff. I'm really grateful for the opportunity to have a sabbatical this year. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Great photo that Dan managed to find, which I think was taken about 7 years ago of me. And you might be thinking that judging by that photo, the years have taken their toll on Chris. And maybe, but actually, the great thing is this is not coming out of a place of crisis or exhaustion. This is just something that every 7 years we look at. And you know, as we see right at the start of the Bible in Genesis 1, God's plan for rest goes right alongside his plan for creation and productivity and fruitfulness and purpose. So in the midst of this action-packed season where I'm really excited about all that God is doing in Kings and through us here, it feels appropriate to take a sabbatical to get refreshed in him and make space for him to speak, so that I can keep in step for the season ahead. So really appreciate your prayers in that as that kicks off in mid-March. But yeah, Dan was talking about keeping in step with the Spirit. And alongside that, in this season ahead, we must work hard to keep in step with one another. Because God's plans are always about people, aren't they? Walking into the purposes that God has for us at King's Church is something that we are to do together. It's not an accident that you are here and that you're part of this. God's purposes are not just for a select few leaders or the keen beans. They are for all of us. We are all to be united in doing the work of God together. And we see the importance of that time and time again in the book of Exodus that we're going to be preaching through. It wouldn't have been much good if Moses and his kind of leaders had just sort of said, right, to the promised land, and strode off without the people of Israel in tow. Instead, it was God's plan as they moved through the wilderness that they were to stick together. And the tribe of Dan had a particular special role in that. They were to position themselves in the rear of the company of God's people, looking out for the strugglers and the stragglers, literally picking up and carrying people who were sick or just struggling with the journey. And at Kings, we all have a responsibility to look out for one another, especially people who are on the edges or feeling a bit disconnected or discouraged. So as we journey together, we're going to navigate changes and challenges. And as we do that, we want to be people who keep in step with one another. So let's work hard to do that. Now, one specific change we need to make in the next few months is around small groups. As we establish the North and Midlothian communities, we believe that it's going to be helpful that certain small groups begin to align more closely with particular communities of Kings, at least for a season. We want to help foster a sense of life and momentum in these communities, and small groups play a really vital role in that. The place this change is going to be most obviously felt is in our four existing North Edinburgh groups, or the groups that are currently in the north of our city. And these four will gradually become North Community small groups. Now, I want to say really, really clearly that we are not going to make these changes overnight. It takes time to work through stuff like this. And we want to gently help every one of you in these groups to feel happy and confident about the group that you're going to be calling home. I know there are many of you who are currently integral to small groups in the north of Edinburgh, and yet who are connected to the Gilmore Place community and not the north community. Now, for some, this might be a really helpful opportunity to seek God afresh about whether he might be calling you to commit to the North community, even if you haven't been part of it at all up to this point. For others, you will remain part of the Gilmore Place community. And for those people, we're going to be starting a new Gilmore Place small group that meets around the northern or the central part of the city. And we're going to start that quite soon after Easter, and we're already getting a leadership team in place for that, which is really exciting. Now, we really believe this change is going to bear good fruit, but we're not going to rush anything. So if you've got concerns or questions, please do speak to me, speak to your small group leader. We'd love to chat, and we'll work through that with you. So there's a change that we're making in the area of small groups. As we move from a centrally gathered church to one church meeting in multiple communities, the complexity of church life inevitably increases. And one area we want to make sure we're absolutely always on top of is safeguarding. Karis Cookman is now paid by King's half a day per week to take a lead on this, helping to sharpen our policies and oversee this key area. Karis is based primarily in the Gilmore Place community. So she's going to be appointing safeguarding deputies in each of our King's communities to make sure that we've got things covered really well. And we're hoping to increase the visibility of this new team in the coming months. And Karis is also going to be running more regular training for everyone from across King's who would benefit, particularly our youth and King's kids teams. First one of those is actually this afternoon, I think, which is going to be brilliant. And on the topic of King's kids, this has been an area of huge growth at Gilmore Place over the last 18 months. You know, we now regularly welcome 60 kids into our pre- and primary school-aged groups every Sunday morning. And that requires 44 people to serve on a 1-in-4 basis on a King's Kids rota so that this can remain a really joyful and sustainable area to serve in. And that amazing growth is only going to increase as God continues wonderfully to add more families into King's, and families in King's keep growing. You know, last year we had 13 babies born in King's Church, and this year I think we've had two more already, praise God, which is wonderful. Now, for us as a church, this growth is really exciting, but it presents a challenge because we need an army of willing volunteers who are going to step up and help. And maybe that's something that you could consider. So it's a challenge, but it is also an amazing opportunity. And I want us to keep our eyes fixed on the opportunity that we have in this area. We get to disciple the next generation of the church through our King's Kids groups. It's really exciting. So because we want to make sure that we're investing really well, we've recently slightly increased our staff time that we're allotting to this area. Joe Clark is back from maternity leave, and she is now giving 1.5 days as our King's Kids and Families lead. And Ruth Noble is going to continue giving half a day to specifically support King's Kids admin in addition to her general admin church, the church admin role that she's been doing for us so well. So as we keep in step with one another over the coming year, there's going to be this tension that we may all feel in different ways between investing in one church cohesion and helping nurture life and momentum in each of the separate King's communities in their own right. And in the past few years, one of our best One Church events has been our church weekend away. We've been doing this for the last number of years now. And as you know, we'd planned on doing that again this year from the 16th to the 18th of May. However, as we prayed and planned, as we kind of thought about the next few months ahead, we just took some time to revisit whether or not that was the very best thing that we could be doing to do what God is calling us to do right now, considering our finite time and resources. And after lots of prayer and conversation with leaders across Kings, we've come to the conclusion that a new pattern of church weekends away every 2 years might serve God's purposes better. So, this year, there will be no church weekend away, as we had previously planned. And that's sad, because we really love them. They are great times. But it's also exciting, because it creates space for us to lean into doing other things that we believe will better help us keep in step with God and with one another this year. So instead of a church weekend away, we're going to do a King's One Church weekend at home. We will all gather here for an afternoon and evening on Saturday, the 23rd of May. And we'll have worship and teaching, food, probably something fun in the early evening like a ceilidh together. And then we will all head home to our own beds, and we will gather again the following morning for church here at Gilmore Place. And we think this could be a really accessible and effective way of building cohesion as one church, whilst leaving space for our communities to thrive. So please do get the date in your diary and sign up when the opportunity comes up very soon. It's going to be a really, really good and significant time together. Our hope is that with this space that's being created, the North community will then be able to do some kind of weekend away at some stage this year. That is a very early age of dreaming and planning. So if you're part of the North community, then watch this space. One other weekend away that is confirmed and planned is our weekend away for our students and young adults, the 20s and 30s group, in March, early March. And we've got some great visiting speakers lined up for this. And it's the first time in a long time that we've been in a position to be able to do a weekend away like this for our young people, which is really, really exciting. So if you are a student or someone in your 20s and 30s, I want to encourage you. This is going to be so good for you. And I believe it's God is going to use this to grow you in him and to grow the community of young people here at King's. I know it's a big commitment to go away for a weekend like this, but I firmly believe it's going to be a priority worth making. So do go for it. Get yourselves signed up as soon as you can. That one is coming up fast. It's at the beginning of March. All the sign-up information will be in the news email this week. So please do get signed up and chat to the team if you want to know any more details. So there are a few changes for us to walk through together. And we really believe they're going to help us to keep in step with one another this year, and to be faithful to the priorities that God is setting before us in the months ahead. So Luke is now going to come and continue on with the next bit, talking about keeping in step with God's mission. Do you want the lectern, Luke?
Yeah, I think I will.
Okay, all right, great.
Just a sign of unity. We'll all use the same lectern. So yeah, Dan said, and many of you as Christians will be familiar with this, that Jesus, as he returned to heaven, left his people this great commission to make disciples of all nations. And so to keep in step with God's Spirit is very simply to do that. And we are called to do that individually as we witness to the people around us in our homes, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, and the other places that we hang out through our words, through our actions. And we live with a sense of expectation and also with faithfulness. So Dan quoted William Carey about expecting great things from God, attempting great things for God. And then he also referenced William Carey, who said, the secret to all of that I've done, he was amazingly fruitful ministry, I can plod. And so we live with all of that as individuals. We just keep faithfully doing the thing God's called us to do, doing the next thing. But we're doing that within a context of expecting and attempting great things. And so That's for you to do as a follower of Jesus, to be sharing your faith through your words and through your actions, to do that faithfully. And then moments will come for you to step up into something new. And one of the ways that might be would be, for example, getting involved in one of our street cafes. We have two of these that happen in the city. One happens on the Meadows, often on Saturday afternoons, and the other happens down in Leith on Saturdays and midweek as well. Another way in which you could do this would be to be part of the Everyone Edinburgh initiative. And this is a project to deliver a copy of John's Gospel, which looks just like this, to every household in Edinburgh. And so far, over 73,000 of these have been delivered across Edinburgh. That's around a third of the city. People from 24 different churches have been involved in it, and King's continues to take a lead in it through Dan being part of the leadership team and Ruth Noble giving some of her staff time to help administrate it. Over 9,100 Gospels have been delivered by people from King's. So if that's you, well done and thank you. Maybe before Christmas you did your street or the area where your small group meets. Well, now it's time to expand our vision. Time for you to expand your vision and choose some more streets and some other areas and deliver some more. We're going to be making a big push for this again in the lead up to Easter. And we'll be producing flyers that will go in the Gospels that will both explain what this is, why we're giving it to the people, and inviting them to come along to our Easter services. Because Easter is going to be our next big guest-focused Sunday service. We are just creating this rhythm for us as a church that we're always guest-friendly. I hope if you're here today, you're not a Christian, or maybe you've never been to this church before. We hope you do feel really welcome, and there's lots of ways for you to get more connected. And if you're not a Christian, and we really do hope you're learning things and finding things out and finding this a fascinating place to be. So we're always guest-friendly, but we also are having these termly guest-focused Sundays. So last term, we had the Hope Sunday that Dan spoke at. This term, it's going to be Easter Sunday. There are going to be baptisms. I'll be sharing a short message, and we'll be encouraging you to invite people along to that special Sunday. We'll be, we'll be encouraging people to give out these Everyone Edinburgh copies of John's Gospel. There will be a local Easter outreach event happening around here, organized by James and Rachel Moyer, again, who are just building this rhythm of community outreaches for us, which is really exciting. And so for you, as part of your personal mission, you can be praying, you can be delivering, you can be inviting. God's mission also involves building his church. As we've said, there are many gifted leaders who have been part of a single community are now across three communities. And Gilmore Place continues to grow too. So if you're here and you're part of Gilmore Place, this is an exciting opportunity for you to step into new things within the church. Maybe even to discover giftings you didn't know you had. But God has put them in there for such a time as this. The best way to learn in leadership is to start leading. That's how we go about things. We don't wait until someone's got a leadership qualification. We say, hey, let's get started. Let's get involved. Let's see what God might do. But we do also know that leadership training helps develop and helps continue us to grow in our faith. And so we've got another great leadership training event happening this term. We're delighted to have Terry Virgo, who's the founder of the Family of Churches, New Frontiers, that we are part of. He is going to come to be with us in March for a morning to look at the prayer life of a leader. Now, Terry has modeled this for more years than I would say almost anyone in this room has been alive. So we are getting a really an expert to come in and speak to us about this. And we're really looking forward to that. There'll be so much to learn from him. And that's for you, whoever you are, whatever stage of your leadership journey you're on, we'd love you to come and be a part of that event. We also continue to invest in a leadership training program for three of our younger members of staff, Pete Bates, Lisa Lochran, and Ethan Sampson. So they are on a program that takes them down south, 10 sessions a year to be with teachers and leaders from another part of our family of churches. And they are learning loads from that. Dan and Julie Hudson continue to invest in a small group of younger leaders at King's as well, sharing their wisdom and also inviting other leaders in to help with them as well. And we also want to be part of God's kingdom more widely. As Dan said early on, we love every church in this city who loves Jesus and proclaims his gospel. And we want to help with that. And we're doing that especially through Dan helping to lead the Newground Scotland hub of churches. We're also involved with other churches across Edinburgh, as Dan said, even last week, gathering with hundreds of them. And things like Everyone Edinburgh are another way in which we do that. So we've got multiple communities here at King's, and we're involved in multiple communities around the region and around the nation. And so the staff team here are involved in looking in lots of directions, often all at once, or certainly in very close sequential order. Not just one community, not even just one church. And that is complex, and is we're learning how to do that. We've never done this before. And so we are investing a lot of our time, a lot of our energy, loads of our prayers into how we do this and do this well. And so staff investment continues to be a big part of what we need to do as a church. And part of how you will play your part in that is to continue to give generously and joyfully. This church is funded entirely by the giving of its members. And we'll be encouraging everyone to think about their giving with fresh faith at our Finance Sunday that happens in March. We do this every year. And just a chance to show what we're doing, what God's calling us to do, encouraging you to respond in faith in the year ahead. So giving's part of how you do that, and praying is massively part of how we do that, individually, just ongoingly, but also, as we've said, these prayer events that we're involved in next week. I want you to invite you to come along to those. And another way in which you'll be doing that, just as a member of this church, is just bearing with us. As I say, we're learning how to do this. We are finding our capacity stretched in multiple directions, and we may not always be able to give the attention that you would like to the thing that you would like. And just want to encourage you that this is how we're a family together. We try and work these things out. We have good, honest conversations with one another, express our frustrations, confess our limitations, pray together, and seek God for how he wants to work things through. So I want to encourage you to continue to be a part of that with us. Okay, band, if you could come up. So these are some of the ways in which we will keep in step with God's mission this year. We will faithfully witness, invite, and deliver. We'll step into new things. We'll be responsive when leaders say, hey, do you want to try, just try that? Particularly leadership. We'll give generously, and we'll be praying for one another and for the things that God's called us to do. We'll be patient with one another too. These are amazing privilege, amazing adventure. Isn't it incredible, as Colin's word was earlier, to be involved in just doing something, and then at one point God will bring our focus back and we will see what a beautiful thing he has done amongst us. What a great privilege, having once been enemies of God, to now be not only his chosen children, but his co-laborers with him, working on his great kingdom project. Why don't we stand and sing in response to him?